Good morning. It's 11 minutes before the hour. You're listening to NPR's Morning Edition over Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka, where it's 31 degrees and overcast. Today is Tuesday, December 6, 2011. I'm Robert Woolsey with Raven News. State Representative Peggy Wilson is in Sitka through today. It's part of a two-day visit by the six-term legislator. Because of redistricting, the Wrangell Republican will no longer represent Sitka after the next election. She talked to KCAW's Ed Ronco about redistricting, the upcoming election, and other issues.
Well, it's definitely overwhelming.
State Representative Peggy Wilson talking about new district boundaries. For nearly 12 years, the Wrangell Republican has represented Sitka, but the lines have been redrawn, which puts Wrangell in the same legislative district as Ketchikan. Wilson says it's a big change.
I know the people in my district. I know the players. I kind of know how they feel about things. And even if I don't get to see them as much, I still know the way they feel. And so now it's going to be, I'm going to have to relearn because of all of the district in that new District 33, there are 17,000 people, and I only have 2,000 that I had before.
Wilson will now be in a district with Ketchikan, which will see her running against State Representative Kyle Johansson, among others, for the Republican nomination to the seat. It's been a turbulent year for Johansson politically. He forfeited his leadership position in a fallout with the Republican caucus, which spurred an unsuccessful recall effort against him.
I really hate the whole situation because Kyle and I are friends. So it's going to be difficult for me to go in and run against somebody that I know and that I feel like is a friend. And so that's going to be rather awkward, but it's something that I have finally decided that I am going to do it, and we'll just have to see how it turns out.
But for now and through all of next year, Wilson will still represent House District 2, including Sitka. And she says there are lots of issues to address in the next legislative session, which is just over a month away. One of those issues will likely be ferry service. The Alaska Department of Transportation is revising its regional plan, which includes some big changes to the Alaska Marine Highway System. The options propose new routes, and in one case, a road across Baranoff Island to a ferry terminal on the other side. The road would be part of a larger plan to create shorter ferry runs across Chatham Strait. Wilson's staff have said that she's encouraged them to talk about the road. On Monday, she said there's still a lot to learn.
You know, I don't think we've looked into it enough to know all the details enough to say, oh, this would be a better option than something else.
The bottom line, she says, is that a place like Sitka needs to consider its geography when it comes to ferry service.
I think a Sitka needs to really look at where they are situated, the cost of going around. But there again, it's going to be a cost going across also, and an inconvenience. So, you know, my feelings on that is let the people decide, and whatever they decide, I'll get behind them and support them as much as I can.
Another issue this year could be coastal management. Last year, legislators did away with Alaska's coastal management program, which gives municipalities a say in development plans for coastal zones. Wilson says she would have liked to have seen the program stay in place. Governor Sean Parnell says he does not plan to introduce legislation to resurrect the program, and so a citizens' initiative is moving forward to put the matter before the voters. Wilson says she doesn't know if that will help.
The initiative is going way beyond where a lot of people felt comfortable. So I have no idea how it's going to turn out. I think we need it, but I think the initiative is probably going to be pushing it beyond where a lot of people can vote for it.
The proposed initiative calls for a board to provide local input on coastal management plans and gives that board a say on plans that address coastal uses that might raise concerns based on science or local knowledge. Reporting in Sitka, I'm Ed Ronco.
You can hear our entire conversation with Peggy Wilson on our website, kcaw.org. The race for House District 33 is already heating up. A candidate from Ketchikan now faces a sizable penalty for campaigning without registering. Coast Alaska's Ed Schoenfeld reports.
An Alaska Public Offices Commission attorney recommends fining David Scott $2,357. That's because he sent out emails announcing his election plans without filing the proper paperwork with the state. Scott is a former chief of staff for the incumbent in the seat, Representative Kyle Johansson. The Republican, now chief of staff for Nome Democratic Senator Donnie Olson, announced his candidacy on Alaska Day. He sent emails to the media, plus another Ketchikan Republican, who forwarded it to party members. At the time, he said he planned to work the upcoming legislative session, which meant he would not file until after the legislature adjourns. That's because legislative staff have to quit before running for office. In a report to the commission, APOC attorney Martha Tanzik recommends he be charged a $700 fine plus $1,657 in staff costs. That adds up to $2,357 in civil penalties. Calls for comment were referred to APOC Executive Director Paul Dauphiné. He said staff concluded Scott violated state statute.
For Mr. Scott, it appears that he has had an expenditure in announcing his campaign and did so before he filed either a letter of intent, a candidate registration, or put his name in nomination.
Does the commission have a rule or the state have a rule that says sending an email is an expenditure?
Yes, the commission has set a precedent where sending an email is considered an expenditure, even though it is de minimis.
The full commission will decide whether to levy the entire recommended fine. Scott could not be reached via phone and email. But in an earlier interview with Ketchikan Public Radio Station, KRBD, he said he did his best to follow the rules.
I had no intent to try to skirt any ethical barriers or campaign laws, which is why I was in contact with the Ethics Committee beforehand, before I did the press release. So I used my own private time. I did it after 5 o'clock. That's why I use my own private computer, and I did release the press release on a state holiday.
His written response to APOC's complaint notes that he sent another email rescinding his candidacy announcement after agency staff told him he was in violation of campaign laws. He also said he realizes he should have contacted APOC before sending out the first announcement. The APOC report also questions whether Scott has actually ended his campaign. It cites a KRBD report where he indicates he still intends to run for the House. Incumbent Johansson is seeking election to a reconfigured Ketchikan-based House district. Wrangell Representative Peggy Wilson and Ketchikan Visitors Bureau Director Patty Mackey have also filed for the Republican primary. This is Ed Schoenfeld in Juneau.
To read the full APOC staff report, visit our website, kcaw.org. A Metlakatla resident was hospitalized last week with suspected symptoms of paralytic shellfish poisoning. As Deanna Garrison reports, state health officials say this may be the first reported case of PSP in Alaska for the month of November.
Department of Health spokesperson Greg Wilkinson says a Metlakatla family harvested butter clams and cockles on Sunday from the Dynamite Beach area on Annette Island.
Had a big steamer feast on Monday, and one of them ended up hospitalized with symptoms that are consistent with paralytic shellfish poisoning. All three family members had symptoms of paralytic shellfish poisoning, but two of them only had mild symptoms, which passed. The third one did have symptoms that were serious enough that the Annette Island Clinic felt that they should be transported over to Ketchikan for observation.
Wilkinson says the patient was released from the hospital on Wednesday. Local residents have traditionally gathered clams during the winter months with the understanding that the risk of eating PSP-tainted shellfish is diminished. Wilkinson says it is unusual to see PSP cases in the winter.
This is the first reported case in November, so that only leaves December as a month that we've not had a reported case of suspected paralytic shellfish poisoning. So it can happen any time of the year.
All locally harvested shellfish, including clams, mussels, oysters, gooey ducks, and scallops, may contain paralytic shellfish poisoning. Crab meat is okay to eat, but crab guts can contain unsafe levels of PSP and should be discarded. Wilkinson advises against consuming any personally harvested shellfish, no matter what time of year.
Basically, all we can say is that people who harvest their own shellfish are taking a chance that they could be a source of paralytic shellfish poisoning. Commercially harvested are tested through the DEC and are considered safe, but if you're eating the ones you harvest, you might be okay, you might not. You're taking a chance.
Wilkinson urges anyone experiencing symptoms of PSB to contact a doctor immediately.
The initial symptoms would be tingling of the lips, the tongue, the inside of the mouth. From there, it progresses to tingling of the fingertips and toes, and then it moves up the arms and legs and into your body cavity. And if it paralyzes your lungs, of course, you would have to be kept on life support to keep it from being fatal. So it can progress, and one clam can be PSP-free, and another one can have enough poison in it to kill you. So you just never know one from another.
Wilkinson says the state has collected samples of the clams that were eaten and is testing them for PSP. He says results of those tests won't be available for a couple of days. This has been one of the worst years for PSP outbreaks in southern Southeast on record. Some of the highest concentrations of paralytic shellfish toxins ever recorded were found in scientific samples collected around Ketchikan this summer. In Ketchikan, I'm Deanna Garrison.
The Federal Bureau of Land Management and the State Division of Oil and Gas will hold separate petroleum lease sales tomorrow in Anchorage. The BLM will open bids at 1 p.m. at the Anchorage Federal Building. The agency is offering 283 tracts covering more than 3 million acres within the National Petroleum Reserve, Alaska. The agency says the tracts are in the northeast and northwest areas of the reserve. The state is offering 3,145 tracts, covering about 14.7 million acres. Zone weather forecast today for Sitka and PA calls for mostly cloudy skies, isolated snow showers, highs around 38, west winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. This is Raven Radio, KCAW in Sitka.